You good? We're rolling?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to watch the clock there. All right, we're sitting here with Bruce Berger, also known as Rebbe Sol, and we're in Israel. Hi, Bruce.
Shalom.
Shalom. Maybe we can just start if you just tell us a little bit about who you are. How do you define yourself?
Tall, dark, handsome.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's see, not that tall. I'm a musician. Maybe that's obvious already. I put together a project called Rebbe Sol several years ago. Prior to that, I was mainly a guitar player. What we might call in the United States like a session player, a studio player. So you play on other people's stuff, other people's recordings. You go out and you tour with other artists, but basically you're kind of a backup guy. And as a result, you end up being a musical chameleon, I call it. You have to play many, many different styles and different things. You never really know what you're walking into, and sometimes in a lot of instances. And so I found I was sounding different all the time, but I eventually wanted to just find my own sound so I would sound like me. And ultimately what happened is I found that in my roots, and henceforth the name Rebbe Sol came about, and I started that project.
Well, Rebbe Sol is a really catchy name. So are you a rabbi, I have to ask, right?
No, I'm not a rabbi. It's
like
a stage
Rebbe?
Name.
What
are the Rebbes?
How did you come up with Rebbe Sol?
I honestly don't even remember, really. It just kind of rolled really nicely. Like a good song lyric, it has to kind of roll off your tongue really well. It needs to sing well, as opposed to, say, poetry, which may not sing well. It may be great and very poetic, metaphoric, but things need to kind of roll off your tongue nicely, and I think names are like that, too. So I don't remember exactly how it came up, but it alludes to various things. And Rebbes are the shamans of the Jewish people. There is a real mystical element involved in the work that they have done and the work that they do. They're not even necessarily rabbis, but they're spiritual leaders. Most of them, I think, probably are and were rabbis.
Mm-hmm.
But they're spiritual leaders, and people came to them for advice, and they're all kinds of, very amazing and oftentimes fanciful stories about them, how they travel up to heaven and consult whoever the heavenly courts up there and come back down and tell the guy that you need to come up with 10 rubles to do this or something like that, in Hasidic tradition, let's say. But the Rebbes were they were the mystics, the shamans of the Jewish people. And music, to me, if you're a real honest to goodness musician, if you're a real artist, that's exactly what you're doing, and that's what you should be doing. And I would say as musicians, one of the things that we can do best is, we work at our craft. And we work at our craft, I think, with the intent, perhaps, maybe it's not even acknowledged goal or objective, but for me it's to be good enough at what I do to just get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
We're all channels, really. I think we're all channels. So anyway, so the Rebbes, I think, were perhaps more even obvious examples of that kind of thing. Maybe musicians and artists of today or the Rebbes of yesterday, let's say, in a kind of a broad term. And it always emanates from your soul. And the words just kind of fit together, Rebbe Sol. So.
Well, they definitely fit together, and I'm familiar with your music. I don't know how familiar our listeners are, but it's definitely very full of what we would call soul, but it's very profound, it's very deep, and it speaks to you in a different way than maybe rock and roll or much of the music that I'm familiar with anyway. Your music is instrumental, a lot of instrumental tunes with some... based in some, you said your roots. Why don't you talk about how you're sort of pulling from your roots now, which is Jewish roots, right?
Right. So, world music is, a lot of people classify this, like the Rebbe Sol sound, as world music, which is a very broad term. And world music, you know, frankly, is usually means music that just comes from somewhere else, you know.
Right, not out of America.
Right, it's like exotic, you know. Right. If you're in America, it's from somewhere else, whatever. So, but world music, I think, in a really broad sense, if you look at Jewish music is, I think, probably the closest example to what world music really is anyway, mm-hmm. or what it should be. Because of the diaspora, Jews ended up everywhere in the world, everywhere. And they brought with them certain musical traditions and other content that contributed to the music, whether they're prayers or something like that.
And the cultural influences from the place that Jews lived.
Exactly. So that was the other thing. So they brought with them that, and then they also took influences from the places, like you just said. So, for example, in Persia, Iran today, I was talking to a Persian musician who's very well studied in like Western classical music and also in her own traditional Persian music, and she was telling me, and I don't know exactly what period of time this was, but she said that the people that actually kept Persian music alive were the Jews, because at one time the Islamic leaders in that country suppressed music and, you know, considered it evil. They didn't want anyone to do it. So people really stopped playing music. And so the Muslims weren't playing, but the Jews, they didn't care about. Jews, you know, do whatever you want to do. So so the Jews were the ones for that period of time, which, I don't know, what is 100 years or whatever it was. I don't remember now, but they were the ones that kept Persian music alive. So, you know, so Jewish music can be klezmer, which is very Ashkenazi. That means from, say, Eastern Europe, Russia, Hungary, the places like that, Poland. It can be very Mizrahi, which means Eastern, and that usually means, like, sometimes it's even called Oriental, which is a different way that we use that term in America. It means a very different thing. It really means Eastern.
Right.
And it means, like, that could be from, you know, Saudi Arabia, or it could be, you know, from Afghanistan, it could be from Iran, it could be from Iraq. There's a lot of Jewish music from those places, even Jewish music from, believe it or not, Calcutta and, you know, places like that. And then there's also Sephardi music, which, and Sephardi literally means Spanish, and it usually pertains more to not just Spanish, but the music that came from there and spread all around the Mediterranean area. So it can be North African, and it can even go up as, like, into the Balkans, and that's Sephardic. So Jewish music, I think, is world music in a very, very true sense.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. How would you define your music, then, in general terms, in specific terms?
Ah, which is the question you asked me 10 minutes ago.
I don't know if it was. I already got involved with the world music definition. I'm good with that. But
I took a little journey somewhere else there. Sorry, folks.
It was a good journey.
So the Rebbe Soul music reflects a lot of these traditions, whether they're a Sephardi or Mizrahi or Ashkenazi or whatever. It's kind of a fusion of all these different things, and a fusion of, you know, who I am as a person, who, you know, is someone from America, from the United States, who grew up playing guitar, listening to like Eric Clapton or, you know, people like that. So there's a whole fusion of things involved in that, and it's a blend of different things. Still, I think usually it's categorized as world music, but it's definitely what I would consider world fusion.
World fusion. So you wouldn't define your music specifically as Jewish music, or would you?
Yeah, I would say it's Jewish music, because it's all based on Jewish stuff. It's enhanced and surrounded with a lot of other influences, just based on who I am as a musician, player, writer, arranger, something like that. And even like a lot of my bandmates, you know, sometimes we kind of go in. Sometimes I'll have something very clear, defined, and then a lot of times it's like, well, let's just see what happens here. Mm-hmm. We did a whole album of something like that one time, which was one of the most fun projects I ever did, and it was called Common Tongue. And Common Tongue, meaning music is the common tongue or the common language. At that time, a bunch of us were all from different backgrounds. For example, our percussionist is Brazilian, and he lives in Brazil now, in fact. And we all got together and we decided, well, let's, you know, bring a little bit of material that we've all perhaps been working on individually, or even nothing at all. Let's just see what happens. And I got a retreat for us for a few weeks in Malibu, which is in California. And we got together and we spent a lot of time there. And we just took out our instruments and started playing and working on things. Some of the guys came in with stuff. And that's what resulted was this album called, you know, From Common Tongue. We actually called it Common Tongue. And the album was called Step Into My World. And there was, you know, less Jewish influence on that because it came from everybody. And I'm the token Jew anyway. You know? And it was really, really fun. So, and also the reason it worked too is I think all good musicians, when you're really doing your best, you're listening probably more than you're doing anything else. Mm-hmm. And I would say these people in the Rebbe Soul Band are definitely no exceptions to that. They're all great listeners. And you listen to something and you do what complements whatever that is. You're not trying to show off and playing the fastest thing here or do mm-hmm. whatever it is that you just learned how to play or something. You know, you're just trying to make everything gel and sound great all together. So that was a very interesting project, and that was definitely a world fusion project.
Well, you've had a lot of you've had a successful career, where you were based in America, up until about 2.5 years ago, correct?
Right. At the time of this conversation,
right,
which happens to be when is it now? It's what is this May of 2010? Okay.
Well, in America, we were talking earlier before we recorded this interview about the Jewish music in America, the Jewish music scene, the Jewish music style, and how you work around it, skirt around it, work with it. How would you define the scene in America? And then now that you've been here, you can talk a little bit about your musical experiences here in Israel.
Well, the Jewish music scene in America, it's very specific. You can find an element of it here in Israel, actually. Let me describe it this way. Since being in Israel, I've found three main music scenes here, and there are a few more that I don't know so much about. But there are three main music scenes that I've stumbled across or, you know, ran into. One is the Tel Aviv scene, and Tel Aviv is, you know, like New York on the beach. You know, mm-hmm. It's a kind of very happening city. It never sleeps, and there's always stuff going on, and the music reflects that. The music in Tel Aviv is basically everything. There's world music, there's jazz, there's, you know, everyone's playing with everybody
right.
else. It's very vibrant, it's more experimental. Certainly more experimental than I think music in a lot of American big cities, especially say a place like LA where it's not so experimental.
Yeah.
New York is maybe more experimental.
Perhaps because of the extreme multicultural, you know, Israel being sort of a center mm-hmm. of the world, so to speak, and you've got so many people, cultures and influences coming in from everywhere. I'm interceding.
That's okay. I think that's part of it. Yeah, you're absolutely right. The other part of it is there's just an adventurous personality to the Israeli psyche, you know,
yeah.
regardless of where you've come from, whether you've been here for generations or whether you've just come from Ethiopia or something like that. There's an adventurous kind of a persona here for sure, which I think you do find in cities like New York musically, mm-hmm. which you won't find, say, very much in L.A., even though it can exist there, but other things usually take precedent over it. It's just the way it happens to
mm-hmm.
work out. But, I mean, there are creative people there, that's for sure. I mean, I lived there for a long time, and there was some very creative players there, too.
In California.
Yeah, I'm speaking of L.A. in particular.
LA, yeah.
but there are other things that tend to overshadow it more, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so the Tel Aviv scene is kind of everything. There's a lot of stuff going on. If you go a little to the southern part of Tel Aviv in Jaffa, you'll find probably more world music there. When you're in other parts of Tel Aviv, you might find more jazz there. You'll find a lot of stuff. So that's one scene.
So musicians who are into everything kind of music, we recommend you go to Tel Aviv.
Right, go to Tel Aviv. Tell them I sent you.
Right.
I'll give you a good hummus place.
Or not just musicians, but people who love music and want to hear all sorts of things.
Right. It's
the
actually,
Tel Aviv scene would be the place.
Right. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on. Like the scene, actually, When you say like music scene, when one says the term music scene, there are different elements of it, because the scene is only partially what you're really going to hear live anyway. Mm-hmm. Like most people, when they go hear stuff live, they're hearing only a portion, a really small portion of what's really going on. What's really going on are, you know, musicians getting together and jamming and playing in the studios, playing after hours, which a lot of people just don't hear.
Right.
So that's the stuff you may not even hear, but it's really, really cool, you know.
Right.
And this melody you're hearing now, by the way, for those
the
of you playing
melody?
The home game, no, in Israeli schools, instead of having bells ring, you know, for after, you know, when school ends or the periods change or something, they have these little kind of silly little melodies, and
right.
more often than not, they're things like, you know, Oh Susanna, which
right.
is an American tune.
Right.
And it's funny, you hear that all the time in this country. So, okay, so the first scene that I would say that Tel Aviv is like this big, you know, the big scene where everything exists. One of the most interesting scenes for me is in the Galil. We say this, or you would say the Sea of Galilee,
uh-huh.
or the northern part, let's say before you get to the Golan. And around that area, there's a real mixing of cultures there, not in an urban setting, but definitely more of a rural setting. And you'll find a ton of world music there. You'll find like a lot of, you know, Arabic music and just all kinds of different things in the Galil. I find that personally very interesting myself.
Yeah. I enjoy that kind of music as well.
Yeah. So when you're, let's see, like where I live is in a town called Zichron Yaakov, which is not quite in the Galil yet. It's kind of the threshold to the Galil. So where I live, I'm sort of in between the Tel Aviv scene and the Galil scene, which is kind of an interesting place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of great musicians that live like right around here who play all kinds of different things, whether it's world or jazz or rock and stuff like that. Now, the third scene is what I call the Jerusalem scene. And the Jerusalem scene is the most reflective, I think, of the American Jewish scene. Because number one, it is very American. You'll find tons of Americans playing. And they basically play American-style music. It's,
mm-hmm.
you know, you could almost be in the United States just listening to a bunch of Americans play. And instead of hearing, you know, English words, you know, about love, you'll probably hear Hebrew words about Torah or something like
mm-hmm.
that. And you'll find, like, a lot of religious people, you know, playing and involved in that. But it's a very American-sounding scene to me, and that's the Jerusalem scene. And that, I think, is what the American Jewish scene basically is. It's essentially American music, and you're applying Jewish elements to that, usually lyrical, definitely not musical elements, very, very seldom. Usually it's lyrical elements with the content of, like, the words. So they may come from prayers or stories, like Torah stories or something like that.
It's interesting to define Jerusalem scene as very American influenced. It being sort of the what's commonly maybe imagined as a holy place.
Right. Well, the reason it's very American is because a lot of Americans have gone there, and they are the ones that are defining the scene.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's you'll find you know, there are other musicians from other places, but the place is so dominated by the, kind of that American point of view, let's say, just because there's so many of them there, that they will often follow suit. You'll find a lot of Sabra Israelis or Israelis from different parts of the world playing that kind of music, led by an American band leader or an American singer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I want to move on to another subject, but just... So what you would be comparing with the American Jewish music would be more focused around prayer or a synagogue or
definitely
that kind of holiness, spirituality.
Right. Now, that's not to say in the other aspects there aren't elements like that in some of these other things, because there are, but the primary focus, I would say, of that scene is exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll find, you know, like more Mizrahi type artists here who may do like one song From Tahi Leem, you know, the Psalms,
yeah.
or something like that. And that's, it's getting to be almost like a popular thing.
Right.
And then some of them become religious eventually, so they
uh-huh.
really get into it, you know, the whole album about
right.
it or something. And that's something, like in Rebbe Soul, that was pretty much how I started it
right.
to begin with. And I, you know, I wasn't necessarily a really religious person to start off with, but I would say that at the same time, while taking that musical journey and learning about a lot of that stuff, learning about my heritage, about my religion, my people, and where we came from, it was a spiritual journey at the same time for me. And I, you know, I learned a lot about both things, the music and the content behind
mm-hmm.
it, as I made that journey. And I still do to this day, all the time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot to be learned from it. Like, the various albums, like Fringe of Blue, which was my second album, which was mostly instrumental. The whole album pretty much consisted of prayers,
mm-hmm.
Instrumental versions of prayers, and that was
great album, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much. You know, there were a couple of albums after. The one that I'm just finishing up now is in a similar way, actually. It's music entirely of Rabbi Shlomo Carlebach, who was very, very influential on Jewish culture. The religion, of course, and just even culturally. It's hard to go into a synagogue of any kind these days, whether it's
mm-hmm.
Reform, Conservative, Orthodox, whatever. And if you stay there long enough, you're going to hear a Shlomo Carlebach melody at some
right.
point.
Definitely.
You know, and that's amazing. Cause,
and you won't even know that it was his sometimes.
Right, right.
Yeah. That's how implanted it is.
Right. You know, I think one of his most famous
integrated,
songs...
Integrated, sorry.
Integrated, yes.
Integrated.
One of his most famous songs is Am Yisrael Chai.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people that think that that's a folk song, but it's
right.
not. He actually wrote it.
Right.
He wrote something like 2,000 songs, which
yeah.
is amazing to me. I mean, and he was a rabbi, not just a musician. He was a
mm-hmm.
rabbi that, you know, that also
a
played
Rebbe.
Guitar. Or a Rebbe. I would
Rebbe.
Consider him a Rebbe.
Right.
Or I certainly would. He was a very... very deep spiritual leader, and he influenced so many people, and he had an amazing effect on people, and so his music, you know, is a way of kind of leading there, and I did an album which I just finished the music to the album, and it'll be released soon, which is it's called From Another World. From Another World. There's an interesting story behind that title too, actually. I didn't really spend a lot of time with him. I never really knew him all that well. I met him maybe 3 times in my life. And one time I was playing a concert in Los Angeles, and he was also playing on the bill. And it was a benefit concert. This is shortly after a big earthquake hit L.A., which was, I think, in the early 90s, like
uh-huh.
90, 91 or something like that, or maybe 89. And so the Jewish community got together and wanted to put together a little fundraiser to help people who were victims of the earthquake. So they asked me to come. I'd just come out with my first album. So suddenly, you know, I was someone to be reckoned
mm-hmm.
with, you know. So so they invited me to do this thing. And there were some other artists there, too. I don't remember exactly. But he was there also. And he's the kind of person that would certainly show up for this type of thing. He had
right.
just had a really big heart, you know. And so I remember... I got up there and I invited some of my bandmates to join me. It was a benefit thing, and it wasn't, you know, like for the whole band, but some of my guys came along, and it was really, really fun. And at the very end, we finished with Avinu, which is Avinu Malkeinu. It's a
right.
prayer.
That's
and
kind of your signature.
It is kind of, yeah, exactly. And
yeah.
so and it usually creates a really big impression
yeah.
at the end. It's a real dramatic.
Very beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. I wish I would have written it, actually. But anyway.
Well, you did a great interpretation of it.
Thanks. So we played that, and it, you know, it was you know, it was really dramatic and everything, and we finished off with that. So at the end, I was just kind of walking around in the audience, and I noticed a friend there, and he motioned me to come over. He said, "Hey, I want to introduce you to somebody," and I noticed he was sitting next to Shlomo Carlebach. He was sitting there, and so I walked over and. And I, you know, as I approached him, he was sitting in a chair, and he stood up, and I wish I could somehow, this is audio, of course, so I can't show you exactly the look on his face, but it was a look that it was almost like bewilderment, and
right.
It's a lot of things kind of put together at once, and remember, I just played Avinu Malkeinu,
uh-huh.
or Avinu, And he just, he embraced me and he just said, "Gewalt, it was from another world." And at that moment, I realized, like, here's someone that really understands what music really is.
Right.
It's something that connects us to somewhere else,
uh-huh.
You know? And what I was saying about musicians being channels, I think that's true, you know?
I think totally, yes. Definitely.
And he totally understood that. It was so clear to me.
Yeah.
He just understood it on such a deep level. And I was fishing around for a title to this album, and I think I was telling this story to a good friend of mine, actually, and he just said, "Well, that's the title, you
right.
moron, you know? He gave it to you. He told it to you."
When's that album coming out?
So it'll be later this year, this is 2010.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be a little later this year. I'm not exactly sure of the release date yet.
Yeah.
We're still working a few things out, and it'll probably be released independently.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be the kind of thing you can find it, you know, hopefully anywhere, certainly
yeah.
online. But if you look around
on your website, which is?
Oh, it's rebbysoul.com.
Mm-hmm.
And rebbysoul is, it's one word, and it's spelled rebbesoul. And if you go to rebbysoul.com, you'll certainly find it. I would say, we're in May, probably, you know, toward like the fall, I would think it'd be readily available.
Yeah, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah. We have probably about 5 or 7 minutes left. I wanted to just talk to you about your aliyah to Israel, if you can do that in a nutshell. You lived in America for a very long time, and then you suddenly decided to come. I don't know, suddenly, but now you're here in Israel. Mm. Talk about the process. What was your decision, and how this living in Israel has influenced you as a musician and your music?
Okay, well, coming here, the Aliyah process, it's a really special process on a lot of levels. Just from a practical level, I would have to say, you know, Israel and the various organizations, the government and other non-governmental organizations, go out of their way to try to make it easy for you and to try to help you. I don't know any other countries that do that.
Yeah.
You know, America, we have the Statue of Liberty and all that stuff, give them your retired and poor and all that stuff. You know, I don't know, being an immigrant to America, I think that would be a pretty tough thing. You know, if you
right.
don't know English, no one's going to be very sympathetic to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult. You're on your own in a lot of ways. And I would think that's probably true in most countries. Here, they really do welcome you.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really, really nice thing. Made things much easier. You can enroll in what they call Ulpan. Ulpan means studio, but it also means Hebrew, like learning classes.
Lab or
right language lab, and they give you, for the first few years that you're here, you can take free Hebrew lessons and stuff like that. It's fantastic. And by the way, my Hebrew still sucks. They give me all this stuff and I still walk out and
you speak from a different place.
It's the common
tongue. You communicate. We understand you through your music, so we'll forgive you.
Right. I have to walk around with my guitar all
right.
the time. But they go out of their way to help you, and I think and it's really nice. Israel is a place, what a fascinating place it is. In America, you think of America as a place where cultures really do meet, and it's certainly true. But I'd have to say, like, compared to Israel, it's on a completely different level. Here, you're really confronted with it all the time,
right.
and you see it. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
Part of which might even just be the fact that it's sitting between three major continents.
Right.
So that's part of it, maybe. But the other part of it is, you have people who are coming here from different parts of the world. Certainly a lot of persecuted Jews have come here from,
mm-hmm.
Even now, from different places, let alone, 40, 50 years ago or even before
mm-hmm.
the State of Israel was formed. And this is the refuge.
And
they're the ones that have
always lived here.
Right, right. And yeah, and that's true. There are people, Jews have lived here for literally for
right.
thousands of years. And Jerusalem, is one city that has always, always been inhabited by Jews throughout history. Even after the Roman expulsion, there were still Jews that
right.
were sticking around in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and as far as your
yeah.
living here and how it's influenced your outlook, and your music as well.
Musically. Well, certainly musically, I find this place fascinating. And that's one of the reasons I even wanted to come here. Because every time I came to visit, I was fascinated by the diverse range, the diverse spectrum of music that I would hear in this place. Right down the street, not down the street, but just, I would say, like a 10-minute drive from where we are sitting right now, in a little town, is a kind of a coffee house club, which houses maybe, I don't know, at the most, maybe 75 people. And everyone sits on the floor on pillows and stuff like that, very, you know, kind of Middle Eastern style. And they have phenomenal acts there. I mean, phenomenal. You can go there and you can hear great percussionists. I can name a few names, which may or may not mean anything to those of you who are listening, but one of the great percussionists of Israel is a guy named Avi Agababa, who actually lives near here.
Uh-huh.
He's great. And I've, you know, and he's a friend of mine, and I'm not necessarily plugging him because he's my friend, but he is one of the great percussionists here. And I've probably seen him at this little place, just you know, down the road here. You know, probably, what, 3-4 times in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And there are wonderful players that play there. A great oud player, Yair Dalal, who is known to do a lot of stuff with Bedouin people, but he's up in the Galil now. And he does a lot of really, really fine work. Another great oud player who is also in the Galil is George Saman.
Mm-hmm.
He plays violin and oud also. A lot of oud players play violin, and he's an Arab. Wonderful guy, wonderful player, and a real, almost like an institution here. But you can see, you know, people like this in these little places, and very on an informal sort of a basis. And unlike, say, I'd say in the United States and maybe some other countries where you find people who are even like major stars here, like, everyone's kind of approachable here.
Right, approachable. You can talk to them. You can, after the show, you could probably play music with him.
Yeah. It's really nice. So it's interesting to just be around that and be able to witness that kind of stuff. I remember before I actually made Aliyah, when I was coming here on a visit, I was in Yerushalayim, and it was late one night, and I hear this incredible darbuka playing. Darbuka is like different words for that, like Dumbek, Derbeki, Merriam drum. It's a typical like Middle Eastern drum. I hear this amazing darbuka playing at like 1 o'clock in the morning, and I left. I started walking around Jerusalem, tracing the sound, and I ended up walking, and there were like a bunch of these Arab kids. Like, this kid must have been all of 10 years old, you know, and he's playing this killer darbuka.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It was so cool.
Yeah, and it's very integrated. The Arab sound and the Israeli sound and all of that is becoming very integrated. Bruce Berger, Rabbi Sol, we're talking with you today from Zichron Yaakov in Israel, where you're staying and living. And unfortunately, we're out of time, and I know we could talk forever. It's really interesting. If you could just maybe give us some final words, what's your favorite place in Israel? And again, tell us your website, how we can contact you for booking, for getting your new album.
Okay, and, so my website, once again, it's just rebbesoul.com, www.rebbesoul.com. And using that, you can kind of contact, you know, whoever needs to be contacted there. There are all kinds of different links and things like that. And there's phone numbers there. And
you're very approachable.
Yeah, right. Even how incredibly famous and, you know.
It's unbelievable.
But, I love hearing from people. It's actually really wonderful. And there's a Facebook page, all kinds of stuff like that. And you asked my favorite places in Israel. That's a tough one because there are so many cool places. You know, where I live here, I'm right next to the beach, Hof Dor, which I think is one of the nicest beaches in the country.
Definitely.
It's an amazing place. Caesarea is over here, which is an ancient Roman ruin, which is a really cool place to visit. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a great amphitheater over there where they have wonderful concerts. You know, you go to the north into the Galil, and you find a lot of really cool mixing of cultures. And then there's the actual sea, the Kinneret, or the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by all these great places.
So you don't have a favorite place.
I
just
don't.
Just love all of Israel.
Right. It's, you know,
okay.
I mean, I could probably carry on and tell you other places, you know.
So what you're telling our listeners and music lovers and musicians that Israel is the place to be?
I would say this. I can't tell you my favorite place, but I invite you to come here and find out what your favorite place is by yourself.
All right.
On your own, you know.
Thank
come here,
you.
Pay a visit and then tell me what your favorite place is.
Great. Thanks, Bruce, and it was really great talking to you. We'll be listening to your music, and we'll be looking forward to your album coming out soon.
Right on.
Your new album.
Thank you.
All the best. Shalom.
Shabbat
shalom.